All right, welcome back to the Avery Adventures podcast number 54. So today we're going to do our SHOT Show 2019 recap and just go over some of the people we saw, the products we saw and heard about, and that's about it. Just to give you an overview of the SHOT Show.
Yeah, there was nothing really that blew me away.
We did a podcast with Tyler Friel from Tundra Talk, and we did a little recap too. So if you guys want to listen to that, then you'll also hear maybe some more variations of thoughts from Matt, Justin, and Tyler too.
Yeah. We were tired then, so be a little more, it'll be interesting to see how they compare.
Yeah, that will be. All right, so there was a lot of vendors. It's in the Sands Convention Center, 4 floors, and it's for 4 days. So what did somebody say? You'd have to visit each booth for like 6 seconds the entire 4 days to see everything that they had.
If you wanted to go to every booth, it's like 6 or 8 seconds, and you have to spend every minute there.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So it's big for law enforcement, the industry, shooting industry, and who else?
Big for the shooting sports in general.
Yeah.
And hunting.
Yeah.
There's really no archery stuff there. It's all pretty much gun and, I mean, there's a lot of technology stuff there, but there's really no archery stuff at all. There's crossbows. That's about it.
Yeah. They had a lot of, and it's an interesting mix of things for shooting sports, but also we saw things like wenches, yeah, tripods,
flamethrowers.
Yeah, there is a lot of eclectic little things tucked in here and there. So there's definitely not a dull moment with products that you may see there.
Yeah, it's everything outdoors, you know, basically. I mean, there's no like RVs, but basically anything you could think of outdoors is probably there. Or some variation of it.
Some variation. Okay, so let's just start. Day one was Tuesday, and we saw some stuff from Sitka that day. Did a breakfast, and that was actually real good. They went into depth of the different fibers and materials. A lot of interesting things. They redeveloped the Fanatic jacket to make it quieter, which I thought was interesting. I used the Fanatic jacket on my mule deer hunt this year and didn't notice sounds at all. But apparently, if you're whitetail hunting with it, apparently it is a little bit noisy.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually went into depth about how they record what deer can hear.
Yeah,
versus what we can hear.
They kind of know what decibel deer hear and that we hear, and they say it's not that much different. I mean, they say that it is different. Deer definitely have a better hearing, but they have it at a different level than we do.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you, if you don't think there's science involved in these clothing manufacturers out there, you're strongly mistaken. There's an unbelievable amount of science going into these apparel companies.
Yeah, I was shocked. I mean, I know that they really research the fabrics and how they wear and, you know, how many washings will affect them. But this was like next level. I was pretty impressed. They had scientists that had probably more degrees and
had a doctor
things behind his name. But they broke it down on a slideshow, which I thought to make it understandable to the rest of us minions in the world.
Yeah, they have a sound booth, and they can drop the sound booth down to, I think they said, -4 degrees.
Yeah, they had to do something because at some point the microphones will stop detecting.
Yeah.
So they had to do a bunch of stuff so that the microphones could still detect that.
No, they could only take it to 4 degrees, anything below that. That's why they couldn't take it to anybody.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's interesting. They have backpacks. They started out last year at the backpacks, and they've came out with 2 more backpacks, and Justin Crosley's been testing one for us. I will say they're getting better.
Yeah, I'm planning on, they sent me one to test. They actually created women's backpacks this year, and there's going to be a video out on that. John Barklow, the products designer, is that his official?
Big game.
He went into depth in the video that I did with him about how they designed the women's backpack to, you know, the shape of women's body, because obviously we do have bigger hips and breasts that men don't. Most men don't, I guess I should say, that that should make a difference. So I'm going to test out their backpack for women for my bear hunt is the plan at this point.
It's a little pack. It's a 2700. It only holds up to 50 pounds, so it's not like a big hauling pack.
No, I mean, it wouldn't obviously work for like a elk, you know, backpack hunt.
No.
Because obviously you'd have to, you know, have your whole camp in there. But it's definitely a day hunting pack. You know, as I said with John, there are times that, we have to pack, you know, maybe. I mean, obviously all of us are different in what we can pack. But I don't need the capability of a lot of these packs that they have available for men because I simply couldn't pack that much weight. I physically couldn't pack that much weight. So
yeah, I believe the one that they made for you guys is 3 pounds, 5 ounces.
Yeah. So I'm excited to try that out. That'll be nice for a day pack. Perfect for how we do bear hunting.
Yeah. They also made a women's, and they extended the women's line. They made a few things.
Mm-hmm. They did extend the women's line. They made a lighter, a couple pieces for the base layers that are a lighter version. I tried out the mid weights and the heavy weights this last year and put that reviews up on Rockslide. And so this year they have a lighter weight version of the pants and the shirt. And then they made, the best way to describe it is like a sports tank top with the built-in bra. So when I asked John about the application for that, he said it's basically a piece that the women said that they wanted that could be a sports bra that you could wear for that purpose, or also it could go over a sports bra, which, you know, is a huge deal for hunting the undergarments because, you know, those are going to be the pieces that are most saturated with sweat and stuff for us. And if they don't breathe and don't wick, we're going to be stinking really, really badly. So once we talked about that application for what I first saw it before I had a chance to ask him, you know, what their thoughts were and what their application for that piece was. And so it made a lot more sense to me after I talked to him about it. That, and they came out with a bunch of pieces for the women's waterfowl line, which looks pretty interesting. I don't hunt waterfowl. I don't do any of that. So I can't give you any feedback on that. They had a really cool jacket called the Fahrenheit, which was a puffy jacket. And mm-hmm. I also don't know a ton about that, but I did try it on. It fit nicely. And they had some cool features with the pockets were deep and they went upward. So you could actually almost fit your whole arm up to your elbow in the pockets.
And they came out with their workwear line has stuff for to block bugs, has some kind of bug repellent on it.
If you could have heard us at that presentation, I think, I'm not sure which one of us squealed the happiest, whether it was Justin Crosley or I. It could have been both of us, but no, actually, was it? No, Matt. Justin didn't know about it then yet. It was Matt. Both of us were extremely excited about that.
Yeah, it has some kind of bug repellent in it, the pants and the shirt, which if you know Justin or Tanya, they lather themselves up with DEET and permethrin. So that's a great thing to have on the product.
Yeah, I think Justin actually is crazy about it than I am, but he's got some good ideas I think I'm going to implement for this year with bug repellent. So, okay, so after that, we...
One more thing on Sitka.
Oh,
if you have Sitka... is really, I mean, we have a lot of companies on Rockslide, but Sitka is definitely one of the leaders in sewing and making a really good product that fits the same every year. And you very rarely see any stitches unraveling, loose stitches. So I just want to put that out there. All the stuff that we are seeing, all the stuff that I've seen in the past is Sitka is hard to beat for keeping that same exact size year mm-hmm. in and year out.
So their consistency is
probably really nice. Probably one of the best in the industry. So I tried some stuff on and it's, if you wore a large 3 years ago, you're going to wear a large this year and probably the next year. So.
And you know what I like is that when we've given feedback in the past, it actually is taken into consideration.
Right.
So many clothing lines, you know, you give feedback and you think that they would be interested in what you have to say because you are the consumer. I have to say, without a doubt, John is... been the biggest proponent of implementing our suggestions. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if he's listening to us, he's probably listening to anybody and everybody.
Yeah, because I talked to him last year. I actually talked to him 2 years about a pair of pants that I really thought he should design, you know, and I'm kind of one that doesn't let things go. So I told him again last year, hey, you should design these pants. And this year I went up to him and tried to plead my case again. And he's like, I'm making those pants. He mm-hmm. goes, they're in production. We'll try to get you a prototype here soon. And then Tanya had the same thing about I can't say what kind of a thing.
Well, and I didn't even whine like you did.
Why do you say whine? I said constructive criticism.
Well, okay. Anyway, call it what you may. But he just actually took into consideration of the things that he was seeing me hunt in besides the clothing that I was testing out for their company. And
said he was tired of seeing you in that piece.
He did actually say that. So I'm excited to see what they're going to come up with. And I'm always willing to support a hunting brand before any other company's clothing, obviously.
Well, one thing I'll jump on the bridge, if we stay in the same clothing thing, because we kind of forgot before when we were talking earlier, is we stopped by Cryptic also. And Cryptic is also coming out with some new and cool products, and they're extending their altitude line and changing their altitude line a bit and making it better. They have some stuff coming down the pipe that's pretty exciting, releasing this year.
Which is another company that listens to feedback.
Yeah. And we don't want to say that it's just Sitka, because Sitka does a great job with it, but companies do listen to what you tell them. So if you have an idea, keep reminding them of that idea.
And, you know, they also appreciate hearing good feedback, not just what you don't like about it. Mm-hmm. So that they know what, you know, that it is working for you and stuff. Definitely, it is hard to know whether or not you're heard, but I think we've come to learn that they do listen to their consumers. So that's really good. All right. Next, we saw some of our friends that we know from SixSight and talked to them about the American Warrior Foundation. Yeah. That's some pretty cool stuff. Do you want to elaborate on that, Ray?
Yeah. Will was a Navy SEAL, started the American Warrior Foundation. The cool thing about the American Warrior Foundation is it's not just including vets. It includes first responders, nurses, obviously firemen, law enforcement. And they have a ranch in Colorado that they have a lot of cool events going on that can, you know, help the people with PTSD, help people that are down, get them out into the outdoors. Because for me, I don't have PTSD. I mean, I was in the military, but I don't have any issues from the military. But you cannot deny that getting out in the outdoors and either hunting, fishing, shooting, you know, whatever, exercising, hiking, doesn't make you feel better. And everybody's brain's different. And I can't, you know, one person might go through the same thing and have a totally different outcome than the other guy. But at the end of the day, the American Warrior Foundation encompasses all of those, which I appreciate, because a lot of times it's only focused on veterans. Mm-hmm. When these other people deal with the same kind of stuff.
They do. Yeah. I think it's just great that they are reaching out to everybody.
Right. And it's more than just, I said, like the shooting and all that, but it's also, there's a spiritual aspect that they're trying to involve into it, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. They have a guy that works with them named Dandy that kind of runs a kind of a church faith based service. That's pretty cool too. So it's all encompassing. They have a lot of good things going on, and check them out. It's AmericanWarriorFoundation.com.
Talk to Catlin from Leica. They've got some good stuff.
It's always good to see Leica. They're coming out with the new rangefinder, the 2800.com. Another company that probably took a lot of feedback and criticism. They do have an app now for that rangefinder. One of the biggest problems that people kind of bitched about the 2700 and the 3000, or, you know, all of their previous rangefinders, binoculars or handheld, is that they didn't have an app and you had to put a little stupid micro SD card in there. Well, this takes care of that problem. It's just in their handheld, you know, it's just their handheld 2800, but I see no reason why next year, or even maybe the middle of this year, they will have it in their binoculars too.
Nice. Speaking of companies that take feedback, we got to chat with the Maven guys, two of the Maven guys, Mike and Cade.
3.5 queens.
Yes. It was only two of the 3.5 queens.
Right.
But yeah, we got to chat with them for a while, and they care so much about consumer feedback. They actually had us come down there to Lander, Wyoming this summer, give feedback on some new products that they're coming out with.
Yeah. They had like four or five of us down there to help them design a new long range scope. Should be coming out probably midsummer.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to see that, because it sounds like they were able to do most of everything that you guys really wanted.
Oh, I'm excited, because if it's what I think it's going to be, it's going to be a home run.
Yeah, absolutely. They don't do stuff half-assed. They have really good quality glass, and it's impressive because they have not been in the market as long as some of the other big guys, and they're impressing me each year. They're coming out with better and better stuff.
Yeah, they're starting to get a little bit of the market share.
Absolutely.
They came out with an 18 by 56. They called their B5s that are, they're impressive binoculars. So that'll also be late spring, early summer. Check that out. You can go on Rockside or Avery Adventures and see those binoculars. We already have a set we're testing.
So we got to also chat when we were with Maven with the Rasco Holsters company.
Yep. If you go on Rockslide, Matt Cashel did a FHF Bino Harness review with the Rasco pistol system underneath it. It's pretty pretty cool. Easy access, quick, especially in bear country.
And Casey from Mountain Ops, we were chatting with him about some products that I can't mention quite yet in the market of making things more convenient, but it should be up soon. They're always listening to also the consumer and finding out what the consumer wants. So along those lines, they've got some good stuff that will make things more convenient. That's all I can say. Figure it out from there. All right. Day two, Wednesday. Matt did a video with the people from Zeiss. That actually looks really cool. There was a firmware update on the 2018 rangefinder.
Rangefinder binocular.
Yes. And they were also talking about the fact that you can update it through the actual binos and you don't have to have the app.
No. Yeah. No, you have to have the app to get the firmware updates, but you can also load it in manually. Yes. You can't do the firmware manually.
Right. But that was something that some of the other companies don't offer because you have to, they're telling me you have to have the phone on some other companies to do all the adjustments, whereas this one you can just do it through the bino.
I didn't hear most of that, so I don't know exactly what they were talking about. But there was issues with some of the rangefinders. And the cool thing is they can actually mess with the laser. And they can talk to your phone when you do that firmware update, talks to the rangefinder and fix some of the issues they had with the validation and the dope.
I think that was in reference to, for some reason, if you didn't have that same phone anymore that you plugged the original stuff in, it was still going to be on there. I can't remember all the details, but I know that they covered it in Matt's video. Right. So,
and one of the questions that I've seen a lot out there is what ballistic software they use. They use their own, and so does Leica. They built their own ballistic software, and it still uses G1. So it'll be interesting to see, which you can get away with G1. Just go out and validate your gun and make sure that rangefinder matches. But it'll be interesting to see in the future who's the first one to have a true G7 rangefinding binocular. And I don't think the SIG is. The SIG may be because it runs applied ballistic. So don't quote me on that, but I know that the Zeiss and the Leica rangefinders run on their own ballistic program in their G1.
So continuing on with optics, we headed down to the Vortex booth. After that, they always have a pretty substantial booth so people can check stuff out and talk to Paul and Julie.
They're always busy.
They are always super busy. So hopefully we'll be able to have them on a podcast soon. Paul keeps trying to duck us, but I think we'll corner him on that pretty soon because he's got a lot of good information.
If you guys remember the A Never Enough DVD series, Paul ran that, Paul Kendall, and it was before its time, and I wish he would do it again, but he says he will not do it again.
He will not.
Yeah, he said he will not. But anyways, they came out with the Fury 5000 rangefinding binoculars in the same chassis as the other. I think they're 2500, the other Furies, with a better laser. We have a set rear viewing now, so check out on rockslide.com at some point. We'll have it up. And they also came out with a reticle eyepiece for their spotting scope. It's 22 power. You can get it in mil or MOA, I believe. I don't know why they do 22 power. They should have done it in 30 power, but it does give you an option. If you're shooting in competitions or you're trying to teach somebody mil or MOA.
After that, we checked out Berger Bullets.
Yep.
Who we just asked, were bought out not too long ago.
It was a couple
ago.
Years ago, and they moved.
Yes.
Right. They moved from California to Arizona, I believe. And we asked them why these bullets aren't on the shelves, and they say they're catching up. I should have, you know, everybody asked about the 245 30 cal and the 156 6.5 bullets. And where the heck is the, because Berger Bullets is owned by Nammo, that also owns Lapua and Vitaviori rifle powders. So they said that they're catching up on all that and it should be on the shelves and ready to buy here soon.
That's exciting news.
Ooh, that 245. I can't wait.
Spy Point. Talk a little bit more about that because I wasn't there for that.
Spy Point is a company we've used in the past. We have been using StealthCam personally, and this is just my opinion. I like the Spy Point cameras. Out of all the cameras that I've used, which is probably 6 or 7 different brands, I'm a fan of theirs. I have not used their wireless cameras, you know, that send you a signal digitally like Verizon or AT&T, but I'm excited to get some and review their Verizon cameras because I think it's, you know, people bitch about the price of those and they bitch about you have to have a service, but you really only have to put them up there. They'll go up for 3 months instead of having to go and check them every couple of weeks. You can just let them sit there, so they actually save you gas money.
Right. Unless they get stolen.
Yeah. Unless they get stolen. I haven't had one of those stolen yet, but I have had several trail cameras this previous year getting
stolen. It seems, I feel like we've been hearing that a lot from other people this year, is that their cameras are getting stolen.
Yeah.
So
don't be an asshole. Don't take somebody's camera. If it's not yours, just walk on by. Truthfully, don't take the camera. Don't take any part of it. Just walk on. If you're mad, flip it off, give it, you know, show your butt, whatever. But don't take the camera. Don't be a jackass.
AG Composites, that one I wasn't there for either.
So. Oh, AG Composite stocks, they're exciting. They make stocks for several outdoor companies, Mesa Precision, Kimber. I think they make stocks for Barrett. Anyways, they have a few exciting carbon stocks that Justin and Matt are going to put on their rifles. The cool part is they make them for 700s, you know, Remington 700 or Remington 700 clones, obviously, but they're also going to make a Tika stock. And I've seen a lot of, not a lot, but a few aftermarket Tika stocks, and none of them really get me that excited. Their product gets you excited.
Nice.
It's JG Composites.
I'm excited about the stuff we saw at Zippo.
And I didn't think they made all that.
No, they, I mean, we heard they had hand warmers, so we went over to their booth to check them out. Not only do they have several types of both electric and butane type hand warmers, the electric ones also have a USB port where you can, you know, charge your phone or another device with the hand warmer. So that's kind of cool, I think. They had a bunch of different sizes. I think they had 4 or 5 different sizes of the electric one and then 2 sizes of the butane.
Yeah, they have it looks like 2 different size rechargeable battery packs. Mm-hmm. I think one was 2,500 milliamps and one was 10,000 milliamps.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And instead of being a rechargeable battery pack, they actually heat up like a heater.
Yeah. Yeah. And she said, and we checked out the butane ones because I've had so many external battery chargers just crap out, especially ones that are supposed to be so rugged and tough and all that. And then it's like, after a couple of uses, then they don't even charge your phone once, which is so irritating. So I'm pretty critical of those things. I was actually kind of interested in the butane ones because she's like, you know, you can't shut it off, obviously, but, you know, if you know you're only going to be out for about 4 hours, just fill it, you know, halfway full. And I was like, well, you know, obviously that makes sense. So, and she's like, and they don't really emit a smell. And, you know, we did smell them and they didn't.
I've had one. Unless something's changed, they do. Kind of emit a smell.
And I'm sure, obviously, it's burning gas. It's burning fuel, so it is going to have some sort of smell. But
a little bit of butane has to have some kind of smell.
Right. So, but, you know, I mean,
you can get away with it.
If my hands are cold.
And I would like to test that, actually, that little one, the little battery pack, and see how many charges you can get on it.
Yeah.
Because you don't often need a lot of heat. You just need something.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. And she said that they didn't have, I think she said about a year of testing, because that's where I was kind of grilling her, is trying to figure out, you know, have you had one crap out on you? Like, how long have you been testing these?
Yeah.
And she said, you know, we've had ours for about a year and haven't had any issues with it. And it did. It was smaller than the palm of your hand, the smallest one. So I feel like they had enough different sizes that you really could, you know, have a use for one of them.
Yeah. And they also, I fell in the river this year and figured out that it's really hard to start Bic lighters when it's cold and your hands are cold. And I had some kind of chicken shit waterproof matches that I don't even know where they came from. And they were also very hard to light. And it was eye opening. So they make a match called the Tornado match that looks pretty damn serious. Well, I do know that I'm going to buy some and test them out because,
oh, yeah. We're buying some for sure.
It was a damn, yeah, it was scary. It was, I do it all the time. These little things you forget about, but I was freezing up pretty fast. And luckily I had some trioxane, and trioxane doesn't take much to get going because those matches didn't do much.
Well, I think a misconception a lot of people get in their heads is that if you've been hunting a long time, like you have, that they're careful enough that they don't get themselves into some of the problems that we talk about. But you found out very quickly that even with all of the experience that you've had hunting, is that, you know, one misstep in an icy river, your whole entire body can be submerged. So even if you're the most cautious hunter and experienced hunter and all that, that a lot of people after hunting for a long time kind of delude themselves with this misconception that things can still happen in the woods.
Yeah, everybody, you know, you have this place where you get to where people say you're an expert. Well, I don't believe in experts. I believe in people that have experiences and they know what they're getting into. But I've done this pretty much since I was 8 years old, 9 years old. And I've never had, I fell in the river basically. It was 6 degrees outside right before dark. I was going to get a deer that I shot. Fell in, got to the other side. In my head, I'm thinking, well, I can just hike up this hill because it was pretty steep and I'll warm up. Well, my clothes literally started freezing to the point where I could barely bend my arms. So I had to basically rip all my clothes off, start a big old fire and dry out for 4 hours before I could do anything else. And it was eye-opening to me that A, I couldn't get the Bic lighter to work. Either one, I had two. And I had these windproof, waterproof matches and they I got probably three or four of them broke. And on the fifth or sixth one, I finally got it to light. And the saving grace to that, all that was A, I knew enough to be able to get to my fire starting stuff quick and triaxane. If you've never used it, it's a lifesaver. It will light wet. And if you barely even touch it with a match or even a spark, it's going to start. And then there's enough broken branches around to really get a big, basically a slash fire going. Take all my clothes off and dry out.
Well, that could have been very disastrous because if your stuff hadn't lit or you didn't have access to a lot of branches and stuff, what would you have done?
Well, I was on the wrong side of the river because I was going to get the deer. So I couldn't have walked out very easy. I had to cross the river again. Mm-hmm. And I guess at that point, it wouldn't matter because I was already drenched. But I don't know. I hate to say it. I don't know because my hands, I had this fleece, cryptic Malice fleece on, and it was literally freezing to where you couldn't even bend your arms. Like I couldn't even make my arms move. It was locking up kind of like the Tin Man, which I've never really had to deal with that before. And it got down, I think, to like -7 that night.
So would you recommend people bring more than one type of matches and lighter in case?
Like, no, I would say backup? Be prepared with matches you know work ahead of time. And that was where I failed. And that's exactly why people listen to these podcasts is you. There's another company that Tyler Field told me, cause he's had a similar situation. They're stormproof matches and I can't remember the name. I think it's UCO or that's the name of the company. But anyways, I set out to go into SHOT Show as one of the things on my list is to find these matches that basically will light in any condition.
So the ones that claim to have supposedly lit in any condition, did you ever try those out beforehand to see?
Yeah, I did, but not in that kind of a setting, you know, because A, you don't have your finger dexterity.
Right.
You're mentally already thinking, I got to get this fucking thing started right now. Mm-hmm. And B, I've never had that condition where I've been cold. I mean, as a military, we're always cold. I've been hunting literally out pretty much my whole life. I've been in the woods, but I've never, ever been totally submerged. It was 5 or 6 degrees. It was getting dark. So when I got to the other side, I really thought I could hike up this hill and warm up and then start a fire when I got up to the deer and start working on the deer. Well, as soon as I got to the other side, went to do something. I don't know if I had tightened my, I don't know, but I went to do something. And I was like, man, my arms are like locking up because the jacket's literally freezing stiff, freezing right. Solid. So,
and you probably could have warmed up except that the outside, it was so cold, the exterior, yeah. You know, your exterior is freezing. Yeah. So I guess what you'll have to do when you buy these new Zippo matches is actually maybe submerge them to make sure they still light or test them out, like freeze them. I mean, to me, I'd want to, you know, use one or two of them to really run them through the ringer yeah. Before I took them out.
One of the things that it didn't screw me, I don't know if the matches were that bad, but the striker was bad. The striker was kind of...
Which they also had at Zippo.
Not the striker, like spark striker, but where you strike the match on the little pad that's mm-hmm. got the friction.
Right.
It was kind of like soft, maybe a little damp. Mm-hmm. And it was all sealed up, but it was maybe old. Mm-hmm. So maybe I need to put on a list to recycle that shit every year because it's not really that expensive.
Absolutely. I mean, the same time you go through your first aid kit to throw out anything expired, you should be checking through those supplies.
Yeah, first aid kit or kill kit. You know, I have them pretty basically in the same spot, easy to access. But anyways, lesson
but they
learned.
Did have a little striker thing yeah. at Zippo, which yeah. did look really nice to, you know, be able to start fires or whatever, the little, you know, triangular sparky
yeah.
thing.
That did look pretty still. Cool. To me, in my mind, yeah, those will work in pretty much every time, but if I could take a mat, I'll take a match over those any day.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, that if anything was damp or it was snowing real hard, I don't think that you would have been able to get anything lit with that.
Well,
thing.
You still, the trioxin will start, but finger dexterity was bad and getting worse.
Yeah.
So getting it started, and then it's easy to free, you can move around pretty fast. And because at first I ripped the jacket off, so there goes pretty much all my insulation at that point, because it was kind of an insulated jacket. Mm-hmm. And I had on a down treated jacket underneath that. And people say, oh, those treated jackets, they work. They never really, you know, it's saved at all. The treated stuff is 100%, it'll stay lofty. I'm here to tell you, it didn't.
Well, and didn't that just freeze up immediately too? Because that was wet.
Yeah, it froze up, but it was, you could instantly tell there was no more puff. It was all thin. It was compressed against me, and I didn't mean this to get into this tangent. We can talk about this later, but I did open my eyes to, I don't give a shit what company tells you that it's treated down. It didn't work in that situation, and this was one of the most highly touted down jackets on the market.
All right, so check out that stuff from Zippo, because there's some cool stuff. And like we said, we're going to definitely get our hands on a few different models to test out, because we all know that I can't stand my hands to be cold. And we've dialed in the footwear issue, I believe, for next year's hunting season, but I have not dialed in a system for my hands. So hopefully that may contribute to the success of that. SIG.
SIG has a new rangefinder binocular out. It's the Kilo 3000 BDX, I believe it's called. And it's, I have not tested it, but we are getting one soon to test. And it sounds to me like it's just like the Kilo, but it also talks to your Kestrel, which is pretty cool. And to back up, the Leica 2800.com also talks to your Kestrel.
Yes.
Bluetooth. They both Bluetooth to them.
That's really
so
cool.
So it'll be cool to see if that Kestrel Kilo is as good as the handheld 2400, which is one of my favorite long-range shooting tools, hunting tools.
So they just talk through Bluetooth with their own app, or is there something that Kestrel puts out that is,
I'm
not familiar with
it. I don't know how that works, because I have not messed with it, but I believe it just, it'll find it in the Kestrel and you'll just have to click to it.
So it'll be their app and then just a Bluetooth connection basically to the Kestrel. Gotcha.
I believe so.
Christensen Arms.
Christensen Arms, last year they came out with the MPR, and this year they came out, they're another company that listened. Everybody loved the Ridgeline, but they wanted these certain features on there. You know, they wanted this brake. They wanted a higher comb on the back end, and they listened, and they came out with Traverse.
Yes, we're going to have a video coming out for that. We actually got to get Jeff from Christensen Arms, a.k.a. Gandalf the Great.
If you watch the video, you know why we call him Gandalf.
Yes, you will. And he is he's great on video and a lot of knowledge. Been with that company for a long time.
And for all the guys asking, Christensen is making most of their rifles right now in the 6.5 PRC.
Nice.
And the 300 PRC. So they are listening.
All right. And then for the last day, we actually weren't able to stay at the SHOT Show for the full 4 days, but we were able to, I think, cover most of what we needed to in 3 days. I felt like we got everybody that was on our list. And
yeah, we could do a 3-hour podcast if we wanted to.
Yeah.
Another thing, on day three, what do you have?
I have the Outdoorsman. I mean, I haven't even started with day three. Oh, I'm okay. Just saying that.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm just saying that we were there for a full 3 days with Justin and Matt. And we just, I mean, it's so big, but a lot of it is things that wouldn't apply to us personally in the hunting area that we cover. So, yes, it is big. It is huge. There's a lot of stuff, a ton of booths. We were just getting a lot of feedback from everybody that posted on the thread of things that they heard about that they wanted us to look at, and then things that we wanted to look at and that were pertinent to our industry.
Yeah. There's so many. You could be there. If you're an AR lover, you should be there.
Oh, they had stuff for dogs. They had stuff. I mean, all kinds of stuff. But anyway, on day three, we got to hook up with the Outdoorsman's
crew.
The crew from Outdoorsman's. They're a lot of fun. We enjoyed that. They had, I'm trying to think of what, if they had anything new coming up or.
They have a, I don't know if we're supposed to talk about it yet. But
oh, maybe we shouldn't.
They have a new tripod head coming out that runs that is set up to run on Arca Swiss.
Oh.
So.
Well, when we get hate mail from Mark.
I believe it's really close, like within a week.
All right. Sorry, Mark, if we let the cat out of the bag early on.
No,
that.
And I asked him 6 months ago if they're going to have that. Sounds like they are. It's kind of like, I believe it's exact copy of the Jim Whitehead, just a little beefier to hold a 20-pound plus rifle.
You're big on the outdoorsman's heads. You like those on your tripods.
Oh, I think they're the best.
Yeah.
I haven't ran them all, but I ran a lot, and I really like their tripod. I've had a few issues. If you hunt in freezing, wet conditions, carbon tripod's breaking, and they're aluminum. Yeah, you get to do a little bit of weight penalty. You get a little bit of weight penalty, but you know that tripod's going to work. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm a big fan of the outdoorsman's. I like their pistol grip for binoculars and cameras, and their straight pan head for... Big ATX from Swaro.
Yeah. Justin's a big nerd on those too. He gets the camera out and start doing all kinds of crazy stuff. But
and they also sell Triclops, the thing you shot your deer off, which is pretty sweet.
Oh yeah, that's right. We haven't done a podcast on that really.
No, we're gonna do a podcast with outdoorsmen, I think, at Sheep Show. So.
Oh yeah, that'll be good because that saved me. That is the only reason why I was able to get
saved
that deer.
The marriage.
It really did because I can tell you, we just barely walked up over that little hillside almost.
It's a little ridge, yeah.
Just this teeny little ridge and saw, you know, deer coming from the right-hand side corner. And I didn't really know what...
There was deer running everywhere.
To me, Ryan was in front of me, so he saw it all first and I... wasn't really expecting to see anything at that point, you know, how it goes. You think you're just going to, you know, get settled and then they may come out, which has always happened to us in the past in that particular spot. And it was I barely got up to where he was and we were dropping everything and, you know, he was pulling that out and within seconds, I mean, I swear, I say this, but that deer just stopped to watch the shit show. Unfold. I mean, it was within seconds that we dropped that down and I, you know, was able to get a shot with that. So, yeah, it definitely, and that was the last day of the hunt, like the last hour. It was
the little hand of God.
It was the little hand of God that made that happen. So definitely a fan, but we had never used one. It was actually Justin's. He'd lent it to us.
Thank God.
Yeah. He was probably regretting that after. I shot something and he didn't, but, it was slick. We did a bunch of videos with Sidka on the third day, which we already talked about all the stuff on there. So just watch for the videos on Rock Slide.
Swaro also has a new, rifle scope called the DS. It's it's different than anything on the market. It's a big 40 millimeter tube. You heard me right. 40 millimeter tube. It's a range-finding rifle scope. You have to see it. It's big. It's I know it's illegal in Idaho, and I think it's legal in Oregon. So that takes them right out of the market. But if you haven't seen it, type in Swarovski DS rifle scope, and it has too many features for me to even go into. It's pretty cool. Outside, I couldn't use it in the state I live in. But they also came out with brown binoculars.
Brown binos, yeah.
And spotting scopes, which is freaking cool.
They look, you know, they actually look really cool. And then they had them on a really slick, like, wood grain tripod. I was like, whew, this is way too nice for anybody I know to use.
Yeah, I mean, you're...
It's obviously for the birders, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. A Swarovski name, obviously. You know what you're getting into. It's top shelf. If you'd have told me that brown would have been... Brown looks good.
It does look good. Yeah. And you know, I'm kind of partial also to the orange that they came out with this year. Only so because of the fact that I feel like everything is made in either black or camo. And it's like, come on, guys, let's think about this. Am I going to be able to find this in the woods if I drop it? No.
No, you're not. And hunting with Dean, when I went hunting this September with him, it kind of grows on you because he had a set and I kept messing with him. And pretty soon you're like, I get it because you're not going to lose them.
No.
And you know, if you're using the rangefinder binocular, usually you're not too worried about the animal seeing. I mean, if you get into animal seeing, you know, whatever color range, but orange isn't going to scare any animals off.
I know I'm going to mispronounce this name, but I want to say Maine Scopes, the company that you guys were checking their stuff out on the bottom floor. They had the crazy one that moved.
March.
Yes, March, not Maine.
Yeah, they have a 400 minute of angle adjustment scope that's 6 to 60 power.
I don't know, but it looked like you could have broken it, like, without even trying.
Okay, so the weakest part of your rifle system is always going to be the scope. It's the easiest to break. It's mechanical. So this thing has like a teeter-totter effect to get that adjustment. And I'm not going to say it does or does not work because I like firsthand knowledge. But at the end of the day, you're putting an extra piece in the scope that moves to get that distance. And I wouldn't bet my hunt with it.
Yeah. I don't know. It just, to me, it looks like, you know, like when you're ripping your gun out of your backpack, if that gets caught on something, I feel like you could totally snap it. I don't know.
In March scopes in general, I bought one and I sold it. I can't say I gave it enough time to say yay or nay to it. It was light is why I bought it, and they had enough adjustment, but they just feel, I don't know, they just feel chintzy. I don't want to say that because I don't really know and I didn't have it long enough, but it just didn't feel, my gut feeling was not to use it, so I didn't.
Yeah, so email us if you have one and you've used it and with success.
Tell me how I'm wrong. These March scopes are awesome because maybe I am. I really don't know.
Well, if we get enough feedback, maybe we'll try one out.
Yeah, because they are like, they have it's like a 5 to 30 or 2.5 to 30. It's like 22 ounces. So for packing a long range gun, which I do most of the time, is awesome. But I just didn't like the click. So I didn't like the feel of the scope. The glasses, people told me the glass was great. The glass is okay at best. So anyways, if you have a different result with a March scope, let me know.
And what was the one that Justin was talking about when you turn it a full rotation?
Yeah, it's cool. It's the Steiner. Their rifle scope, when you click it and you go past 20, you have to look at how this works. It clicks, it comes around, it goes to 21.
So you know exactly where you are
in the scope. It's pretty cool design.
Yeah, that definitely sounds cool.
And I've heard good things about this. I've never personally used one, but I've heard good things about the Steiner long range rifle scope.
We went and talked to OR, Outdoor Research. Sounds like they're trying to get into the hunting market.
And they never really haven't. I mean, they've always helped the military.
Yeah, they have a nice tactical line.
Yeah, and I've worn OR stuff for a long time. So I can't say they were granolas before. They've always been in the hunting market to me. It sounds like now they want to be into it full-fledged.
Yeah, that's good news because they've always had really good clothing. So it's not going to be a stretch to have a new company that has never been in the market to try to get on our level.
Yeah, it's they make fantastic clothing.
Yeah, and then Arc'teryx was there.
Yeah, Arc'teryx makes fantastic
clothing. And they make awesome clothing too.
Yeah, they've been the military side forever, and they're definitely on the spendier side, but they do make some great clothing.
Mm-hmm. We checked out Rocky Mountain Boots for our son, and they seem to have a really nice customer service and
really nice guys. If you guys know of any other boots that are military, the Air Force is pretty much all the military switch into that. I can't think of the name of it, but it looks like multi-cam, so they asked to switch to
Coyote Brown
boots. So if you have a manufacturer that you like, please give us a go to Avery Adventures and contact us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that wraps it up. I mean, we probably missed a few. I tried to keep diligent notes throughout the week of places that we'd been and people that we saw, but I know that we split into.
I'm sure we missed some.
Oh, I'm sure we did. Justin and Matt went in one direction, we went another, so they probably will write on the Rockslide thread on the 2019 SHOT Show about a couple of the things that they saw with pictures. So be sure to check out that thread.
Yeah, we have a pretty good thread going on. We have a lot of reviews coming from the SHOT Show.
Yeah, I'm excited to test out some of the stuff that we saw and give you guys feedback. And if you have any questions about anything, just, you know, shoot us an email at Tanya at Avery Adventures or Ryan at Avery Adventures or DM us on social media at Avery Adventures. And we'll try to answer as many questions as we can. But we're really trying to do more Q&A podcasts so that we can answer those questions because we just do not have enough time to answer them all individually. So about once a week, we're going to try to start doing a Q&A podcast with questions that we get from email and DMs from social media. So if you don't get a response right away, even if you see with it, we read it, don't get too uptight because it'll probably be coming out in a podcast. Chances are, if you're not the only one asking that question. Yeah, thanks for listening.
Yeah. If you get time, check out AveryVentures.com. We have more stuff on there than just podcasts.
So. Oh, I almost forgot. And we have now the Alexa Flash Briefing. If you guys don't know what that is, it's a super cool little, I don't know how to explain it the best, but if you have an Alexa smart speaker, or you can even download the Alexa app, a flash briefing, they're almost like mini podcasts, I guess is the best way I can describe it, but it's super easy to download. And like I said, if you don't have an Amazon smart speaker, you can download the app for free just to have on your smartphone. Mm-hmm. And we have one now for Avery Adventures, and we're going to just be having tips from our podcasts, little snippets from our podcasts that we've released. Mm-hmm. We're going to have our own just quick hunting tips and things. But they're really easy to listen to in the morning. You can load a bunch of different companies up, different, you know, get your news, get the weather, get, you know, hunting tips all in the morning while you're getting ready.
Yep.
So check that out. We have videos up on social media on how to get that all started if you've never heard of it and got that gift for Christmas and you don't know what to do with it.
And you can also ask Google and Alexa to pull up our podcast too.
Listen to our podcast through them. And so hopefully we'll be getting on Google and Apple with the basically the flash briefing too, their version of it.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.